Good evening. So sabi ko sa daughter ko, encourage me naman before I go to the office. And Mika, she was the daughter I was talking to. Sabi niya, Mom, you're just speaking to family. Na-convict ako, oo nga naman. Sabi niya, Mom, you keep saying this is spiritual family. You just speak to them like a mom. Naiyak tuloy ako. Buti pa siya. Naalala niya agad. I'm just so excited. I hope that as we are on the second day of our fast, we don't feel like we have to give up food or we have to fast. But I pray that the attitude of our hearts is that we get to do this. As children of God, we get to fast, we get to pray. Excited dapat, di ba? Hindi yung parang pag dumadaan tayo sa may lechon doon, ito na lang, kasi naman, no sacrifice. I hope you realize that we get to do this. And turn with me to Luke chapter 19, verses 12 to 13. We'll be praying for our church tonight. And I just feel that this is a very appropriate word. When Jesus was talking to his disciples, he gave them a parable about what to do, like how to maximize the gifts that he has given us, okay? And he said here in verse 12, he said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas, and he said to them, engage in business until I come. If there's a picture of someone who's engaged in business, I think one good example is, sikat talaga si Mika, my second daughter, Mika. Buti na lang wala siya ngayon, pero nagpaalam ako that I'll be sharing this story. For the past 1.5 years, I guess, so I think mga 8.5 years old siya, she has already been wanting to put up her business. And one of the other business, she doesn't want me to disclose kasi baka daw may kumuha ng idea niya. Yung second business, okay lang daw i-share. It's the sari-sari store business. So her vision is for her sari-sari store business to be the biggest in the whole of our neighborhood. Gusto daw niya talunin yung sari-sari store sa labas ng compound namin. Okay, so this started when there was a construction. So dahil alam niya, di ba, gusto niya ng business. There was a construction going on in one of the houses. While we were going around, sabi niya, there's a construction, meaning there's a lot of construction workers. And the construction workers have manual jobs. So they'll be hungry and they'll be thirsty. So the next day, nagbukas na siya ng kanyang sari-sari store. And every time we go to the grocery, she doesn't really mind whether we are well-fed as a family or not. All she thinks about is, Dad, can I buy this for my sari-sari store? May isa pa, lumapit siya, ganon. She is so consumed with her business. She is engaged in her business. In fact, may mga bookshelf ako na wala na. Hindi na siya bookshelf, nasa labas na, nasa garahe na namin because yun yung pang display rack niya for her sari-sari store. Okay, and that is, I guess, I think a good picture of someone who is engaged in business. She is preoccupied with that business. When she's sleeping, when she's in a party, when she's doing groceries, she is thinking about her business. And the same way, when we talk about being engaged in the business of God, it is supposed to consume us. It is what we think about. It is what preoccupies us. My question for us is, what business are you engaged in? Whose business are you engaged in? Whose primary agenda are we preoccupied with? To engage means to take on for the purpose of taking hold. Okay, and when we come to God now, prayer and fasting. Praying is actually engaging with God. Di ba may mga prayers tayo na casual lang, di ba? Yung chill-chill lang. But now, during this time of fast, iba, tama ba? Sana hindi lang naman ngayon, di ba? But when we pray, actually, Paul has a letter to one of the churches, sabi niya, how he used the word prayer, he said, labor with me in prayer. What does it look like when someone is in labor? Umiire, di ba? Hindi komportable. Pero focused. If you see someone who's in labor, hindi na niya kayang dumaldal. Kung dumadaldal pa, wala pa masyado yon. Or may epidural yon. Pag someone who's in labor, wala, zone out na lahat, ito lang iniisip ko, ma-birth ko lang tong babing to. In the same way, when the Bible tells us to engage in business, when we pray, to engage God in prayer means, I will labor, Lord, in prayer until I see this thing that you have promised come to be birth and come to pass. Give you a few pictures of when I think of the word engage. Okay, una is, sige, pwede na rin yung someone in labor. Pero yung kanina, engaging in business. Second is a picture of a soldier who's in an engaged stance. an engaged position, and an engaged couple. Meron ba mga engaged dito? Or nagpa-pray na ma-engage this year? Ang engaged couple, okay? Whatever picture we choose, I want us to see what does it look like to be engaged. I will just turn now, and I hope if you have your Bibles with you, please turn now to 1 Samuel 17. So tatalon-talon ako. But one picture of someone who's engaged is that person is prepared. For a business person, when you say you're engaged in business, meaning you have done feasibility studies, you have done your research, you have a business plan drafted, you have enough capital gathered for that business, right? For someone who's engaged, na couple, you have studied your partner, you have gotten to know each other, diba? You know each other. For a soldier who's engaged, you must be prepared. You have done the necessary training and you have put on your full armor. And one good example of someone in the Bible who prepared himself such that when the time came, when he was to go out into battle, he was ready, was David. In fact, when Paul tried to discourage David by reminding him how young he was, in 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, sabi ni David, "Your servant used to keep sheep, and when there came a lion or a bear, I went after him and struck him and delivered the sheep out of his mouth." I'll jump to verse 36. "Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one of them." Hey, ganun ka-confident si David kasi alam niya, I have prepared for this. Okay, if we go back to the time when David was first anointed to be king, Bible scholars think it's about 10 to 13 years old when he was anointed. To the time that he fought Goliath, mga 15 to 17 years old. To the time that he went to become king, that was around when he was 30 years old. So we can see that from the time he was anointed to the time he actually fought, there was a lot of years of preparation that he needed. In fact, in 1 Samuel 17:15, it says there that David, instead of, di ba kung ikaw sinabihan ka na magiging king ka, popuesto ka na, di ba? Papapel ka na. But David went back and forth from Saul back to his father's sheep to feed his father's sheep as a shepherd. That was the preparation time for him. Sobrang unglamorous, sobrang walang feeling ng iba, walang kwenta, or walang pumapansin. Between the time David received the promise to when he became king, he also had a giant to slay. And for us, before we can take hold of the promises of God, we need to engage with God so we can prepare ourselves to receive those promises. And when we talk about engaging with God in prayer, it is not, and I hope we know by this time, that when we come to fast and pray, it is not to persuade God or to beg God to finally give us that breakthrough or to persuade God to finally give us that promise or to twist God's arm. No, we engage with God in prayer so that, like what we said last night, we can allow God to break us and to mold us so that we can become the person for which those promises can be fulfilled in. Kasi alam ni God, kung hindi tayo ready, if we are not that person that promise is for, then it will destroy us. So we engage with God. As Christians, we have to realize that God is calling us to be engaged in an engaged position. My question is, are we doing the necessary preparations? In the private times, those times no one sees you, in the little things that you're sure no one will take notice, are you doing the necessary preparations? Are you engaging with God in His Word, in His presence, hearing from Him? That's the first picture of someone who's engaged. He's prepared. Second is, he's in position. To be engaged means to be in position and to know our position. And preparation, being prepared, places us in this position. Prayer and fasting positions us to take on and to take hold of God's promises. So before the battle, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 17. So before the battle, David's job was actually to be a delivery guy of queso and pandesal. Okay? Sabi ni Jesse to David, his son, "Take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also, take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See if your brothers are well and bring some token from them. David was faithful to deliver the sandwiches. David was faithful to do the little things that feeling niya wala naman tong kinalaman eh. What would have happened if David did not do what his father asked him to do? Then he would not be there at the time that Goliath was taunting the Israelites. Before we can take on and take hold and actually engage in battle, we need to be in position. And the beauty of this thing, the truth that we are in Christ, is that Christ has already taken hold of that position for us. He has already secured our victory. Kumbaga, kailangan lang natin gawin, tumayo. Because Christ has already grabbed, taken hold and acquired and secured our position and standing with God. Okay, third is purpose. A person who is engaged knows his purpose, his primary agenda, and he is set to see that purpose come to pass. If someone who is engaged in business, alam niya magkano dapat niyang kikitain at hindi siya matutulog, magbabago siya ng marketing strategies para magawa yon. Okay, knowing the promises and purposes of God positions us to fulfill what we were born for. David, like I said earlier, took him years before he saw the promise and the purpose of God in his life fulfilled. But what made him stay faithful and patient, even if may humahabol na sa kanya, may gusto na pumatay sa kanya? It was because he knew who made the promise, he knew who gave him the purpose, and he knew his purpose. Do you know who gave you that promise? Are you sure of his character? Do you know him? Kasi kung alam natin, kilala natin si Lord, kahit matagal yan, Lord, alam ko eh. Ikaw to eh. Ikaw nagbigay ng promise. Ikaw nagbigay ng purpose. So whether it takes 1 year, 2 years, or 25 years, you are the one who made that promise. And that is what I'll stand on. I want us to realize that the purpose and the promise cannot be taken lightly. When the only time, the time in the Bible that David was mentioned to be unfaithful was when he strayed from his purpose. In 2 Samuel chapter 11. So, buong 1 Samuel kita natin, David won victory after victory. But in 2 Samuel chapter 11, it says there, in the spring of the year, that time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbath. But David remained at Jerusalem. It was when David stayed, when God told him to go, that he fell. The safest place for us to be in is in the center of God's will and God's purpose. It is when David did not go out to war, the war that he was born for, he faced a conflict that he did not have the grace for. Kasi andun siya eh, tinawag siya dun, pero he stayed here. Don't treat the promises and purposes of God in your lives and for your lives lightly or casually. Be where God tells you to be. Say what God tells you to say. Do what God tells you to do. Engage. And lastly, is power. You know you have power. That's why you can stand firm. Hindi ka naman tatayo sa battle, di ba, na feeling mo, talunan na ako eh. Atras ka talaga, di ba? And why does the Bible, why does God tell us to engage? Why do we need to engage and be in an engaged position? Because we are in a battle. We have an enemy who does not want us to take hold of the promises of God. We have an enemy who does not want us to fulfill the purposes of God in our lives. We have an enemy whose primary preoccupation is to make sure that we are not engaged in the occupation that God calls us to be engaged in. And that is why we need all the more to be in an engaged position. As we engage, we need to be prepared to know our position, and to be single-minded about our purpose. I will read the last few verses before I end. 1 Samuel chapter 17. So medyo marami to, no? Pero gagandahan ko pa yung pagkabasa ko para hindi masyadong mahaba pakinggan. 38. Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail, and David strapped his sword over his armor. And he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. Then he took his staff in his hand, so jump ako, and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Verse 45 to 47. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." Verse 47, "And that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." My question is, when David put on Saul's armor, it was a good armor. It was a nice, tested armor for the armies of Israel. But David said, kahit sinubukan niya, he tried in vain, the Bible says. Because, sabi niya, "I have not tested these." My question is, have you tested your armor? God has already given us our armor. He has given us His word. He has given us His presence. He has given us His power. But if we do not practice and test our armor on a daily basis in the smaller battles that we face, when the time comes that we need to face a giant, we will fumble. Have we tested? Are we testing our armor? David was confident when he faced, ang lakas ng loob niya, di ba? Parang, si aliit niya eh. 15, parang Pastor Ryan. Parang, ano lang, binata, ganon. And there was Goliath, right? But he was so confident, saying, "You come to me with that armor." Siguro yung javelin mas matangkad pa sa kanya. "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." And this is why, even as we face giants, we can be confident. No. I have tested this armor. I have tested my God. He has delivered me from the paw of the lion. He has delivered me from the bear. He will deliver me. It will not be any different, because He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And in the same way, you should be testing your armor on a daily basis, because the time will come when we will face giants. Our confidence should not change. The level of our confidence should not change, because our God, the greatness of our God, does not change. The power that is available for us does not change. And I pray that this year, we will be engaged. I think it will be a good time tonight or tomorrow, kasi nga, hindi kayo magbe-breakfast, diba? To ask God, "Lord, what are the things that cause me to disengage? What are the things in my life?" So in connection with God continuing to break us, what are the things in my life that you want me to do so I can better prepare for the battle? What are the things in my life that cause me to forget my position in you? What lies am I believing that cause me to forget my position is secure in you? What are the things in my life that distract me from the purpose that you have? And Lord, I want to test this power every day. I want to engage with you in prayer. I want to engage with you in the word. Ask everybody to stand. I want to pray this over our lives. Before, while we were worshiping, I just sensed that there are some of us that the enemy has been intimidating. You know, we hear, kahapon pa eh, parang, and alam natin, we are in faith, diba? As we enter the year, as we enter the fast, we are expectant, right? But we can expect that when we go out there, the enemy will try to intimidate us. Because that's his job. We can expect that. But right now, I just want us, the way David responded to Goliath's taunting, I want us to respond in the same way, to say to the enemy in the face, to say to whatever is trying to intimidate us, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. Father, we declare your power over our lives. Lord, we thank you, God, that nothing will intimidate us from fulfilling your purpose this year. Father, I thank you, God, that nothing will intimidate us or cause us to back down from the stance, from the position that you have called us to be in. Father, I pray, God, for every man and woman here. I pray, God, that we will stand in position, secure in who we are in Christ, that no matter what happens in this year, we will know we are victorious. We will know we are secure. We will be engaged, God. We will not lose sight of the purpose that you have for our lives. Father, I pray, God, that we will not be consumed with the troubles that come our way. I pray we will not be consumed with the family that we have been praying for, but until now we have not seen the answer to. Lord, I pray that we will not be consumed to the troubles. We will not be consumed with the troubles, God, but I pray that we will be consumed with your purpose, consumed by your presence, consumed by your word, that, Lord, we will stand on your truth no matter what we see around us. We will stand in the nature of your character no matter who surrounds us. Father, I pray, God, that this year we will be fully engaged and we will move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we will say to the enemy, we come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the King of kings, the God of Israel. Father, we thank you that this year we will be victorious. This year we will be victorious. We are victorious. In Jesus' name, amen.